is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pool List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hey, man. What's up?
We're doing this in a very weird way. When you guys listen to the...
We're both standing on our heads.
Yeah, I'm actually at Simon's house, and Simon's at my house, so we're switching things up this weekend. When we get to our trade review, we're going to say, hey, you know, the book is coming out this week and all this stuff. That's because this is an old recording that we shelved, and we're using it for this week. Simon and I are just getting together this weekend to talk about Black Adam, and then we're going to shoehorn in that trade review. So enjoy.
Yeah. Shoehorn, yep.
Yeah, that's the new. That's the title of this episode. But yeah, like I said, Simon and I are going to talk about Black Adam. I was wondering what Simon, after I got done watching it, I was like, I wonder what Simon's going to think about this. I can't wait to talk to him. And here we are. Should we talk a little bit about what happened in the movie? Like, and if you're here, spoilers, we're gonna dive deep into a few things. Yeah, should we talk about what happened in the movie a little bit?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. And I don't... Yes, there are some spoilers, but I feel like the movie itself didn't have a lot of, like, things that were under wraps. It was very straightforward, if that makes sense. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
Like, you know, you said you read the Wikipedia, and it's like, oh, that's... Okay, I got the experience. And there's very few twists and turns that are like, oh, no. You know?
It was like an extreme extended cut of the trailers. Pretty much.
Yes. It kind of, in fact, without getting too far into like judgment, it reminded me a lot of like the Suicide Squad or Suicide Squad, whatever Suicide the Squad. First one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of the way that was cut. Like they had a trailer, they had the trailer people come in and do another cut. Like that's the way it felt, that it was just like, oh, this trailer was pretty cool. Let's make the whole movie that.
Yeah. Because one of the big twists in the movie was like a chronological thing. You know, you think it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson the whole time, but then it, you know, there's this M. Night twist at the end, which I think everybody saw coming. It's Black Adam. You already know he's like the anti-Shazam, anti-Captain Marvel, if you call him Captain Marvel still.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically his origin story, I guess.
Well, no. Not really. His origin story, like his origin story probably would have been more interesting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was a weird way to tell it. Before we break it down, did you like it or did you not like it?
As I told you when we first got on, okay. I'll break it down this way because I've been trying to quantify why I didn't like it rather than just being like, it sucked. You know, so action sequences, in my opinion, cool, fun, enjoyed those parts, but pretty much every bit of dialogue in the entire movie was terrible. Like all of the dialogue was bad.
I don't think it was cinema, as my friend Scorsese would say.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just saying like there was all these weird things, like there's this kid in it. He's like short round, essentially. I feel like they went back in and like re-recorded his voice lines. And
yeah, there was a few times where it seemed like it was dubbed over. It was weird.
And I thought about it more and more because there's this other character in there that's really young, and his voice line sounded dubbed too. And I'm like, did they use the same actor to dub both lines to make, like, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I know that this kid was like 12, 13 years old, way too old to be running around with the cape tied around his neck. And his voice sounded way too high.
If you're not watching this, I just took my cape off and shoved it under my desk.
No, but it got so cringy at times that I was like, this is not worth my time. And it's like, I'm not that cool. I mean, I'm not saying I'm that cool. I was just like, Damn, man, I was kind of exhausted of trying to like this movie.
I will say that it is cringy for sure. That's accurate in my thoughts. Basically, we start out with, way back in the day, I think it was 2600 BC. You got these guys mining for it's not the Rock of Eternity. It's the Rock of Finality.
Eternium. Yeah.
Eternium. Apparently, the king at the time is going to use that to go to hell. That was a weird. I know Sabak is a Shazam bad guy, but villain sucks. Yeah. I did say that in my review.
Yeah. Well, it could have been interesting the way it pans out in the end. It could have been interesting, but they don't explain anything about what's going on. There's this dialogue at the beginning, monologue, whatever, at the beginning that's like trying to explain what's going on, why he wants this crown thing, kind of. But it's like half-assed. There's a lot of half-assed explanations for things, which I feel like took me out of it. But yeah, they're
good.
Yeah,
even with the JSA, like all that stuff was just like, hey, we're here. And we'll talk about that when we get to that part.
Yeah, so they're mining for Eternium to make this crown so he can essentially become the champion of hell, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Satan's champion. Rock on, man.
Yeah.
That's a good band name.
Satan's champion?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Like a good cringy rock.
Or like a hardcore Christian rock band.
Well, yeah. I thought that would, And then that's like the past and the champion disappeared or something. And then
the champion of Kondok fights the Satan champion in an all out Grand Slam WrestleMania event.
Yeah.
He gives them the People of Kondok elbow and they explode out of existence. And then, like Simon was saying, we're at modern times. The People of Kondok sort of protect this crown for centuries, and Kondok is oppressed at this point by Intergang. If you've seen any of the old Superman animated series, they're the guys that are always robbing the banks in Metropolis.
Well, and they're not even protecting the crown, really. It's just like buried. Like they can't find it, even though they find it really easily.
Yeah.
It's supposedly like hidden in this tomb. They find it so easily for it to be hidden for 2,000 years,
Yeah, for sure. For convenience sake, Shazam, it makes sense because the battle is there, but Shazam is also there. So we don't have to go to two locations. I appreciate that. We don't have to go, find the crown, and then we have to go find Shazam. We're going to knock these two birds out with one stone. I appreciate the convenience.
Black Adam,
yeah, not Shazam. He wasn't. Well, his corny ass wasn't in this movie.
I would have rather watched it. Yeah, so, and then there's all the, you can tell this guy's the bad guy pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah, he had that stupid haircut, man.
Yeah.
I thought both of those guys were bad guys because they were both being weird.
Yeah, Nicole was like, I thought it was the mustache guy. I knew it was going to be one of them.
The mustache was the red herring. That's what it was. It was like a creepy pencil thin mustache. And you're like, yeah, that guy's a bad guy. Distracting you from the guy with the afro.
Yeah, the weird. Yeah, very cool. And then all this is happening. They summon Black Adam. Cool sequence. He's beating the shit out of people, throwing them around, frying their asses. Great. Loved it.
Yeah, it was like playing a video game on easy mode where you're just like walking around and zapping people. That's all it was.
And I appreciate that because I feel like they make a lot of movies. Like Superman did it pretty well too, but they make so many of these where it's like, dude, that gun it's not going to do shit.
Yeah, he gets hit with a missile and he has to stop a little bit and catch his breath. When in reality, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, and that's a weird thing. So there was like this, he gets hit by this Eternium thing and it hurts him. They don't really explore that at all.
No, they didn't even talk about weaponizing the Eternium either. It just happened. They just were like, yeah, we got rockets. And how come they only had one rocket? How come they all didn't have Eternium weapons? They could have killed him instantly.
Yeah, well, they had They got to be taking necklaces and shit off of people with Eternium to make those rockets. But oh all gosh. That sequence was cool. Like, I'm sure that was entertaining. A little bit too Snydery, too much slow-mo, but it was cool how it all went together.
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, he did a lot of cool stuff, like sticking that grenade in the guy's mouth. Like, all that was, this is a cool action scene.
Yeah, but that whole thing is kind of, it was neat, but it has been done several times, you know, with Flash in the X-Men movie. I mean, not, you know, I'm talking about Quicksilver. And then I think Flash did, Flash's thing was cool too. But anyway,
the hot dogs, the hot dog thing.
Yeah, no, not that one. But yes, the hot dog. I just imagine him putting in somebody's mouth.
Yeah, that's what I imagine too. Oh my gosh.
I would do that. If I had super speed, I would constantly be putting hot dogs in people's mouth. So that whole like setup, and then real time. That's cool. But yeah.
My also first viral moment was though, whenever he first flies out of the cave that he was in, they start playing like it started with Guardians of the Galaxy. You get that great soundtrack. Oh. Everybody loves it. You're going to get at least one of those songs in every movie until the rest of time now. Every superhero movie.
Yeah.
You got to have those cool soundtrack moments.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Paint It Black, I think. Yeah.
I roll.
Yeah, that would have been cooler later. I don't know.
I like that song, but I mean, I was like, we're going to do this in every movie now.
Yeah, Nicole just said, ugh. I think my first eye roll moment was the first time that boy opened his mouth, that little boy, just like immediately.
When he was arguing with the Intergang guys?
Yeah, when he sounds like one of those nerds that's like...
It was like a 90s movie. He was like a character from like a 90s movie.
Yeah. That's what I said, Short Round. Like, I know that's not a 90s movie, but that was that. Like, he was that kind of sidekick character.
Yeah,
and we had this like funny guy brother just gets gut shot later in the movie. I thought that was pretty rough.
Yeah, he's gonna die. And I love that. We'll talk about it, but I love that exchange where Pierce Brosnan's like, "I'm not that kind of dog. I'm not that kind of doctor."
Yeah, it's such a long movie to just go play by play, but
yeah,
so he's around. Amanda Waller calls Hawkman.
Hawkman, yeah, and the JSA has been around helping the world, maintain peace. But where have they been?
Yeah, now, and I don't mind so much. So Hawkman was kind of interesting, intense guy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to decide.
That's how he is that's how like Carter Hall is. So I'm glad that they did that, and I'm glad that people talk about race swapping characters. But it never really made sense that he was a white dude if he was like a reincarnated Egyptian man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was cool. I mean, he was fine. But I found myself like, okay, well, who is the Marvel equivalent? Like, who are they trying to make this person?
He was like Raphael to me. He was like not a Marvel equivalent, but he was like the gruff anger.
Yeah. He was something. He was kind of like, and I'm not looking, and I don't mean like equivalency as powers or anything like that. I mean like, so they get him, they get
like archetypes.
They get, what was her name? Whirlwind. Is that correct?
Cyclone.
Same thing. No, yeah. Cyclone.
Wind swirls.
Okay. Sorry. Let me start over. Let me collect my thoughts again. Anyway, so they call the JSA. Amanda Waller's like, who's the team? And in my mind, I'm like, JSA would have been better if they were already like a team. Why are they new people?
You get the old ass Flash. Now, it would be cool to get a prequel JSA movie where they all die or something, or they quit.
Yeah, that would have been like fine. That. This whole movie could have been a prequel thing. They could have put it in the past.
Yeah.
Anyway, it
didn't have to be in modern times.
So we get a Cyclone. Okay, fine. Pretty cool.
Adam Smasher, a lady character.
Yeah, Adam Smasher could have been cool, but they were basically like, who can we get? Who's our discount Tom Holland? Who can be our discount Tom Holland?
Yeah.
Because the whole movie, he's like that. Like, oh, sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do that. Like, mask off, same thing. Whole movie. And it was like Deadpool slash whatever. Pierce Brosnan was fine, but it was that whole like taking the helmet off constantly thing. His whole deal, he even says it in there, is when he puts a helmet on, he becomes a different entity.
Yeah.
Technically shouldn't even be able to take it off unless the helmet wants him to take it off.
Yeah, why would that entity be like, yeah, you know what? Pierce Brosnan needs to talk now. They have a really good relationship. That's something that we don't see in comic book movies. We usually see a conflict, but these guys work together.
Mm.
And I don't know. I'm with you, though. He shouldn't. And then we know what it is in real life. Like, you got Pierce Brosnan, you got to see his face.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, and that was there was just so much of, like, even among the JSA, Dr. Fate and Hawkman, they're really old together, I guess.
Yeah.
So they're like best friends, I guess. But you don't really see a lot of that. That and not explains enough. That.
They like flirt with each other. Like, and I don't mean in a homosexual relationship. I just mean like they're friends. They talk like you and I would be talking. Like, we've been friends for a really long time. But you don't really get any context of the relationship besides like calling in an old friend.
Right, right. And the same with, I don't know. And Fonzie's in there for like a second for no.
Hey.
Why?
Somebody owed him a favor.
I guess so.
He was like, I want to be in one of those Marvel movies. And his agent's like, the best I can do is the DCU. You're 70 years old.
Well, and that's that whole character. I know that Atom Smasher and Ant-Man, Giant Man, all that stuff. I know that DC has equivalencies with Marvel and vice versa. Yeah. Like, I understand.
More times than not, they created those characters first. It just sucks that Marvel did it right.
Yeah.
First
and live more action. Interesting. But so we've got basically like Michael Douglas. I had to have an old guy. He's the uncle giving him this old costume. I don't know, man. I just the whole JSA part was put in the wrong order, in my opinion. And this movie had like three endings. It was like Lord of the Rings, except between the second and third ending, there was another hour.
Well, that's what we talked about on previous episodes, where it's like Dark Knight Rises. I was in theaters watching that, and Two-Face turns around and reveals that he's Two-Face now. And I was like, wow, that's one hell of an ending, man. I can't wait for the next one. And then the movie just keeps going for another hour and a half. And I'm like, what is this? It kind of took me out of the movie because it just, this is continuing on. You had a good ending. We don't have to sit here for 3 hours.
Right. Yeah, we don't have to be here anymore.
Yeah.
So
make this a second movie. Release it in 6-7 months.
Yeah. So they're fighting with him or whatever. I don't know. That whole part was really
basically
confusing.
The second act of the movie is Amanda Waller sends the JSA in to handle Black Adam because they have all this ancient text that they are now like, oh, this is real because he came to life. So now all of this ancient mythology is their files now. They're not just museum pieces. And so we need to stop him because we know how strong he is.
One thing I liked is that he's just busting through walls and stuff. But he also was kind of the asshole that would like just float very slowly. Like, he was just floating. He's that guy that if he could fly, he would just float several inches above the ground.
And he did that a few times. Like, whenever they get to the throne or whatever, the king's throne, Adriana walks up to him and he's just like standing there, but he's floating like a ghost, like 6 inches. And I'm like, man, I would do that too. If I could fly, you know, you think about it in the context of what we know about him later on, he's been this like prisoner, you know? And so he's like, oh yeah, now I can fly. So.
Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about The Rock's acting in this?
We have to. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Like, we have two different trains of thought in this.
Well, I don't think that The Rock is like an amazing actor, but I've seen him act better than this.
Okay.
He was just very robotic. Everything he said was like this, with no tone at all.
I feel like that was intentional. So my main gripe with The Rock is that in all of his movies, it's just like Rock, The Rock in the jungle, The Rock, super spy, The Rock, driving cars really fast. I feel like he never plays like an actual character. So in this, they were like, hey, we're aware of that. So we don't want to be like superhero Rock. So we're going to limit your lines. We don't want you to try to act. We want you to be just like a man out of time and just try to focus on your lines. So we're going to give you very limited lines. Just stare grimacingly and and pretend to shoot things in the sky.
Yeah, and that being said, he doesn't seem that lost and out of time, you know?
Yeah, he acclimates pretty quickly. But I mean, also, it is just like all fighting. And then so that's kind of what he does.
I find it interesting that the mother and her son and most everybody else in Khandaq have accents, but The Rock, no accent. 100% American, man. English.
Perfect. He's English perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean as sarcastically as possible. I don't want anybody in the comments being like, well, actually, no, I'm kidding. It's funny that he doesn't have an accent. It's
So I was like, I appreciate that he didn't try.
Because it probably he's sounded like, hey, bad. Man, we had Chadwick Boseman come in and play Black Panther. He did an accent. The Rock, and I know they don't call him The Rock. The Rock, we need
Mr.
you.
Mr. Rock, sir.
We need you to try to do a Khandaq accent. It's ambiguously Eastern country.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad he didn't, though, because it would have been bad. I thought some of it was a little too corny. The eye roll moments between him and Amon, it was like, you need a catchphrase. And I was like, God, don't do this.
Yeah,
don't
that do kid.
Love and Thunder fuck thing, that man. Kid. Don't do this, man.
Fuck that kid, dude.
Some of it was funny, but then they just beat the dead horse. And I was like, okay. It was funny the first time he said it. Like the first time he killed a guy and then he said, tell him the man in black. That was funny. I laughed. I was like, oh, that's great. And then he just kept doing it. And I was like, this isn't funny. And then like the third time he did it, I was like, this is going to be the final thing at the end. He's going to do it at the end. And he fucking did.
Yeah, but that end was pretty cool. I will admit that final part. I was like, oh, shit.
That and the third act of the movie, essentially team up the JSA, and because Adriana, The Rock seems smitten by her, but they never dive into that at all, which I want them to. And I thought that because Adriana and Amon are characters in the comic books, Adriana is the love of Black Adam. She gets powers, she becomes Isis, and Amon is Osiris. So I thought that those were going to get powers just like they did in this dumbass Shazam movie. I like that movie. Oh. I think that part's dumb where they're just like, all right, we all got powers.
That was my favorite part. That's my favorite part of the movie. Oh my gosh. Only because I love all those actors that.
Yeah, they are great. And I thought that was going to happen, but he seems like influenced by her, but they never dive deep into like any romantic thing, which is fine. But because she says they have to team up, he's like, yeah, let's team up.
We didn't talk about it much, but like the fact that he kills all the wizards, like except for
Domon Khonshu or whatever they miss.
Yeah, I was like, damn, they don't even really delve into that at all. He just kills them all except for the guy that makes it.
And he kills a lot in this movie, and they said that Davey's going to kill a lot in this movie, but it's almost comedical. He like throws somebody Looney Tunes style, you know, 30 miles away. He drops people. He turns people into dust. It's almost there's no shock value to it because it's cartoony.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
When he was frying people, it's pretty crazy. But I'm still stuck on like because I can't remember in Shazam, but they were like they died waiting for their champion or whatever. I'm like, nah, man. Black Adam fried their asses. That's how they died.
Yeah. No, he murdered them. All right, so essentially, they team up to find the. Son gets kidnapped and they team up to find the son. That even though it was kind of shoehorned in there, that whole exchange where we learned about Black Adam's background and how he actually wasn't the champion, it was his son, and the king never got the crown.
Yeah.
What did I say?
No, I'm laughing at Rock's big ass head on that skinny dude's body. That's all.
Yeah. I saw it in the beginning whenever he had that big ass melon and that old man body that never showed his face. I was like, that's The Rock. His head is massive.
Yeah.
But yeah, we learned that the king actually never got the crown. The Rock just went in and murdered all those people because he was angry. His son died. And then it happens again where he hurts Amon and that dude gets the crown and he fucking fries all those people. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then he just gives up. And what I always thought about, they do it differently in stories where Black Adam in this, he's like, all right, well, you know what? I don't even need to be here. So I'm going to say my thing and I'm going to leave. And he turns back into his old self. I've seen in comic books before where he turns back into Shazam and then he turns into like skeleton dust because he's so old.
Yeah.
I'm almost glad they didn't, like, they couldn't have done that.
It wouldn't make yeah. Sense. I always thought that was kind of cool though. It's yeah. like Shazam's did that in Dark Knight 2.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a good comic book, but it was cool when he did that. It was like, oh, if I turn back, I'm going to die because I'm old.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't turn back. And then the bad guy's alive. Shazam or Black Adam surrenders to Amanda Waller, Task Force X. They stick the weird Matrix thing in his mouth. They put him in a freaking water tube and they lock him underwater.
I didn't even realize who that blonde lady was either. Nicole was like, oh, that's the chick from Peacemaker. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Hardcore. Didn't realize. She was wearing a Matrix jacket. It was like a leather jacket.
Yeah. It was weird. It was like G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra, you know, where they like have the base under the ice.
Yeah. So the bad guy's alive. Satan's champion is now out there murdering people, which is no different than what Black Adam was doing, but this guy's trying to raise Hell's Army or whatever.
Which there wasn't really a lot of lead up to that.
No, it just happens. It happens pretty quickly.
They just barely explain it. And he has to sit on
which they never say that.
Yeah.
But
he gets to that throne.
Yeah, we kind of just piece that together because that's what happened in the movie. But they never talk about that. I mean, the whole time, Pierce Brosnan has these visions of Hawkman dying. And so he's trying to prevent it. And then he's going to sacrifice himself to fight Sabacc, which is just the Thanos and Doctor Strange fight on Titan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, with the multiple. Nicole, she was like, I think this is a race thing. Like the white savior.
He dies though.
Yeah, well, she says, so she brings it up because Dr. Fate goes, he basically frees the rock. And she's like, and he says something along, we need a little darkness to save us. A dark hero. He's saying, but
that's pretty funny.
He does say dark hero. So it's like,
that's pretty funny. He's like, I'm out of here. I'll let you. Yeah, and he's the only one that leaves. And he's like, I'll let all you ambiguously tan people save the day.
Yeah. And that was kind of corny, too. Like, there was some bad filmmaking, like CW level stuff when Dr. Fate puts up the bubble and they're like, bang, bang, bang. I can't tell. Like, it looked bad. And then when it gets taken down, I like that Hawkman runs up the stairs instead of using the wings that he has to fly.
Yeah, one jump. I think he doesn't even need to fly. I think he could just do like a bird jump into the
Well, it's like, of course, if you could fly, you would run up the stairs. Yes, that's what I would do.
Yeah, you got to show people that you're not just wings, man. You can run too.
One thing, and this is... Go ahead. Well, no, I was going to say, one complaint I have, and it's not movie related, it's just the idea of a mace, is that they always catch it in the handle. Like, anytime somebody's about to hit you with a mace, you catch the handle, apparently.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they shoot out spikes, because then...
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I always thought that was funny.
Black Adam gets free. And instead of... I didn't realize it had to be like a... He had to be in open air to save Shazam.
I'm not saying they...
But instead of just... I'm like, why does he just say it? Why? He's fighting these highly trained task force agents as a 60-year-old man. And he's just beating the shit out of them. Why didn't they just shoot him?
Well, they did try. He gets shot a couple of times.
Yeah, they should have shot him in the
beanbags or something.
They're like, listen, guys, we know that this is the worst job at whatever, not Task Force X, whatever their place is called. We know this is the Argus, I think is what it is. We know this is the worst job. You guys are protecting these extreme supervillains that we have on ice, but we're not going to give you live rounds because we don't want you to hurt them. But they will murder you if they get out.
Yeah, but there was... So, yeah, he gets in... He's in the water. He's in, like, frozen water.
Exactly. I was like, how do you make it to the top?
They had to take a submarine to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
And somehow he's not crushed by the pressure. Exactly.
Now, I think it would have been cool if it was like, I'm not a director, I'm not a filmmaker, I'm not anything. I'm just a dude that watches movies. But I think it would be cool if he said it, and you know, usually the lightning bolt has to hit him, if it was like piercing through that ice cap, and then maybe a little spark got through, and so it explained like, oh, he's got some power.
Yeah.
A little boost. That's why and then he just keeps on doing it. Like the Shazam versus Superman in Kingdom Come. How he does it over and over to hurt Superman. Or maybe that was the animated series.
I think it's the animated movie.
Yeah. Either way, I think that would be a cool thing to do rather than this 80-year-old man swimming through the polar ice caps.
He just keeps getting older.
To get one inch. He died, or he didn't die, but he got to like right here, and he was like, "Float the rest of the way."
And Nicole says, "Why do people?" She goes, "Why do people always take naps in the water like that?"
Oh, like, I don't know how to swim, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't work like that, man.
How does he know how to swim? He grew up in a desert.
Exactly. I think he would have drowned and then sunk back down. That's what should have happened. It's not like he took a big deep breath just then and then started to float. He was already swimming for 3 miles.
I always thought it would be interesting. And I think this plays out in a movie or something where Shazam, they keep him from being able to talk. Like they put his head underwater or something so he can't say the secret word. And I always thought it would be interesting if like he says it and then the word like
I thought they were going to do that.
Shazam.
I thought they were going to do that.
That's silly.
And then he just gets electrocuted underwater.
Yeah.
And then he goes and fights the bad guy and he gets his butt kicked, which I thought, well, that was a good fight. It's good to see like him fight someone that's equal to him.
The Sabak was kind of funny because the way he was standing, he was so far back, like he was pushing that chest out there. It was like his elbows are gonna touch.
He went from being like a Jerry Curl weak man to having this man chest. I'd do the same thing.
Yeah,
the JSA at this point. Inefficient to be like the go-to people that Amanda Waller's calling. They haven't done anything.
Really. Yeah. Adam destroyed Smasher a bunch of like the worst.
Yeah, destroyed a bunch of property. That's pretty much all they've done. And then the most powerful person on their team died. So
So
maybe that's why we didn't see the JSA. Maybe when all that stuff was happening with Darkseid invading or Steppenwolf invading, maybe they just got their ass kicked really early.
Yeah, they were like, oof, done.
Yeah, we're out. I'm going back to the X-Mansion.
Right, yeah, with the opening floor. I thought the same thing.
I'm going to jump in the Blackbird. I'm going back to the X-Mansion. I'm not playing this shit anymore.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, what is this, Xavier School?
It definitely was. He ends up beating Sabak. I don't understand. I don't remember how he rallied.
It was basically Hawkman uses Dr. Fate's helmet, which is not how this works, to multiply himself. Yeah, to multiply himself and do the exact same thing that Dr. Fate did.
Why didn't he just put it on?
That would have been cooler to me. Anytime.
It would have made more sense. You could just touch it and you have the powers now. Then why did Pierce Brosnan ever put it on?
Yeah.
Why don't you just put it on a Flavor Flav chain and wear it around his neck?
It's the trick I learned from a very good friend. Old friend. I was like,
you mean to tell me Dr. Fate was like, hey man, if I ever die, just headlock the helmet and then you can create multiple versions of
it. Yeah. Let me show you how to do it.
I'll show you this trick.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It would be different if it would have been a cool moment if he takes off his stupid hawk mask and then puts on that. That would have been cool. And then it like rejects him afterwards because he doesn't want it, you know, he doesn't want to be on Hawkman.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. That could have been an interesting thing when Hawkman has it on and there's like a conversation
then,
or something.
Or then it just like deteriorates like it did.
Which was also stupid.
Yeah, but surely it's going to come back. They were like, it's alien tech from a million years ago. I'm like, just pick one. Why does it have to be both?
It's ancient aliens.
Yeah, ancient aliens. When he beats Sabak, though, it was good. Does he get his new suit?
Yeah.
After the Arctic. I thought it was cool. I hated the gross.
Yeah, the like very the open. Dirty.
Yeah. Every time I saw his trap muscles out of his suit, I was like, dude, he looks like Bobobo from Double Dragon. he's gotta cover that up, man. he's gotta cover that up.
Yeah.
It's gross. Yeah, we get it, man. You're jacked. We know.
Yeah, I didn't like the open collar.
Yeah. But then he comes back and he has the cape and he's more yellow. He's
shinier.
Yeah. It's cool how he beats Sabacc, though. He rips him in half, essentially.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And then everybody's good. They're just like, hey, man, thanks.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, you know what? You guys are right. We do kind of suck. This whole country was being oppressed by these terrorist organization, and we didn't do anything about it. So we're just going to leave.
Yeah.
You're right. We suck. And also, the guy that did all the magic is dead. So kind of a trump card. You could have these guys suck. You got a chick that can make tornadoes and shoot poles at somebody. She almost murdered a kid because she doesn't have any real control over it.
Also, Dr. Fate didn't do a lot either. No, he has this power over magic.
He did a lot of smoke and mirrors.
I
like that. I like that he was just like, now you see me, now you don't. It was like real sleight of hand magician stuff.
He's supposed to be way crazier than that. But yeah, he just drops a couple of the tonk or whatever that symbol is. He does a couple of those things and it does some ambiguous things.
The crystallized magic that Doctor Strange uses. I'm joking when I'm comparing the two. But it's silly to not say that those two characters are based off of each other. Like,
oh, 100%.
I know even in the comic books, I know Dr. Fate was first, but they've always played off of each other in both universes.
I just wish that if they hadn't done like the individual, like the multiple Dr. Fates, like you could have avoided a direct reference to another movie.
Yeah, and he did the stupid Dr. Strange like slamming his hands together and making at the end, he did one last
hour
before he put his hands together, and I was like,
he really barely does anything.
Yeah, for him to have like godlike powers.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. But everything's good. He changes his name to Black Adam. Says the catchphrase before he kills Sabacc. Happy ending. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And I think we should leave it at that. I really don't want to spoil anything for anybody. But I mean, just for our review, which it was kind of crazy, but also kind of stupid.
I mean, and also The Rock has been talking. I feel like we can talk about it because The Rock has been talking about it like for weeks.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Yeah. It was interesting. And I saw somebody tweet about it. They were like, wasn't Task Force X made because Amanda Waller did not trust Superman?
Yeah. And yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, why is Superman doing favors for Amanda Waller now? Like she can say, hey, Superman, I need you to handle this. And he goes and does it. What? Why is that a thing?
Yeah.
But Superman showed up. Henry Cavill.
I like it, man. Yeah.
Man of Steel, I've never seen it, but.
You've never seen Man of Steel?
I've told the story before. I fell asleep in the theater.
Man of Steel is not as bad as everybody thinks, except for the whole like destruction porn.
Yeah, that's what I missed the entire beginning of the movie. I watched when his dad died, and then I woke up with all of the buildings being destroyed, and then he murdered somebody.
Yeah.
So I was like,
But I feel like Henry Cavill was a good Superman. He just had, it was like, it's like the Star Wars movies. It's like, these are all good actors, and they played their part well. It's just bad writing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good Superman, and I like Henry Cavill. I think he's a nerd, and I will always advocate for nerds collecting giant checks. And I don't know how big the checks are at DC right now. It's probably like volunteer hour.
Yeah, they're like, dude, we're trying to get a tax write-off. Yeah, that was weird. I don't know, whatever.
It was cool, but like, in my head, yes, whatever. It's Superman. I'm always going to be excited about Superman. One, it'd be cooler if he was electrified, but that's never going to happen. I think it would have made more sense for it to be Shazam.
Yes.
You know, and then like they start that beef with each other. I don't, I mean, maybe they have a, you know, they have an idea. Obviously, they have an idea of how those three are going to interact. Hopefully, they just do a shot-for-shot remake of that animated movie that they had.
That would be cool. It really doesn't, I don't understand what they're doing over there anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they
Apparently,
do. I don't think they do.
the Snyder Cut's still going. They're just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, Ben Affleck is reportedly back as the main Batman.
Well, he was Batman in this. Even in that movie, they reference, like, it's the same Batman. Oh, I mean, it's Shazam. It's the same thing, like the trailer beforehand.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You didn't like it. You said you wanted to walk out. I enjoyed it for what it was. That does not mean it was good.
I wanted to walk out because the kid was annoying the shit out of me. Like, he
Yeah.
was ruining every bit of that movie. And if the
He
mom was too. It was
was
stupid.
straight up. Yeah, he was straight up from the 90s. I mean, he rode a skateboard for, I would say, 90% of his scenes. He was on a
Yeah, he
skateboard.
would ride it for 10 feet between the stairs on the stairwell. There just it so the best way I can put it is, when you go and you went and watched Transformers, and you're like, hell yeah, robots fighting. And then there's like Shia LaBeouf, and you're like, why the fuck is he here? This is supposed to be about robots fighting. That
Yeah,
was
Mark
that kid.
Wahlberg. Why
Yeah.
Mark
So,
Wahlberg here?
yeah, why are they here? That's the little kid in that, like, I guess the human element was supposed to remind him of his son, whatever. That's why I think it's the same. And in fact, I think that the wife was the same actress as
I think it
his
was
wife.
too.
So, whatever. I see what they were trying to do, but it's stupid. And like when the dead rise and the uncle comes in after he's been shot,
Yeah.
comes in and hits him with a damn Volkswagen. What
Yeah,
is this?
that thing, yeah, the zombies coming back, very, mummy, felt like a mummy movie at that point. That happens for like 5 minutes.
Well, and the kid is like, "What are y'all doing? Are you
Yeah.
trying to pick up watermelons here on the square? There are zombies outside, and the world is ending."
Wrong nation.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, they never explain the. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be the form of the Eternium or whatever, but they never even really talk about Eternium that much.
No, and it's on the flags from the ancient conduct, whatever. But
Yeah.
yeah, no, none of it makes any fucking sense, man. That's the thing. There were all these leads,
Yeah.
like
There's
even
a
the
lot going
romantic,
on.
weird romantic tension, which it was kind of funny when Hawkman's like, "Hey, cut it out." Like the romantic tension that they try to shoehorn in with,
With Cyclone and Atom Smasher.
yeah, dude.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on, and I did like a short review for TikTok or whatever, and I said that. I was like, the movie is really long and they tried to put in a lot of stuff. They could have cut a
Too,
lot of that out.
yeah, way, way, way too much.
In all honesty, they could have just did, hey, Amanda Waller calls Hawkman. Do you still have contact with Dr. Fate? Yeah, we'll take care of it. That's it. They don't even have to say it's the JSA. They could have did a line where it's like, this reminds me of the days when we were on the JSA.
Yeah. So getting into that, how would you fix the movie? What would be your points for fixing the movie?
That's what I would do. I would cut out the JSA stuff and I would do something like that, like Hawkman, because the other two didn't really ever do anything.
Yeah.
Not saying I didn't like them. The characters were fine, but I would chop that out. I would chop out most of the kid stuff. I would chop out the rallying of the people. I guess that's
You know what
important,
that
but like
reminded me of?
the zombie stuff was just weird. It's just random.
It reminded me of in Spider-Man after 9/11 when they put in that part, "When you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us." Like that bridge scene. That was that part.
Yeah, it was that. I saw somebody make a somebody made it was one of the funniest tweets I saw about the movie, and I was so jealous that I didn't come up with it. It was like, it said Black Adam is like, so a Black Panther for Black people, right? How culturally significant it is. It was like, Black Adam is that for bald people. Because like everybody at the beginning of the movie was bald dudes, and they had their own Wakanda Forever sign, and it was like it was all for bald dudes. And as a bald dude, I was like, yeah, I felt represented. I felt represented.
Should have given him a widow's peak, man. They should
yeah,
have done
the pointy ears and widow speak.
Yeah,
I thought it was fine. I'm really hard on the DCEU movies because they're generally terrible, and I think this is better than a lot of them. But that's not saying much. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying, man. It's like, I think it's worse than a lot of them.
We're gonna have to do a ranking where we put our ranks together and see where for all the DCEU.
It's like ranking piles of shit.
Like eye bleeds to bearable.
Yeah, I think if I were to rewrite this movie, so the crown stuff, to me, it was all like I said, they found it way too easily. But let's say he's going to get summoned back, whatever. I mean, I don't know how I'd fix that first part. Take the kid out.
Yeah. I mean, I did like how they made it to where Black Adam was a prisoner and not like sealed away to come save the day again. It was like, sure. No, man, we put him in the ground. I like that because he murdered 7 wizards.
Yeah, I don't mind any. It was just how fast they found this thing. And then there's like these anonymous soldiers that are there too. And there's always like one leader who seems like he's going to be important. He's not at all. He's always got tattoos. He's bald. But anyway, so that part happens. Amanda Waller, right when that comes in, Amanda Waller calls in the JSA, who has been formed, who's their experience. They're already a team, right? Yeah. All of them. Everybody that's on the team. So they come in. We don't have to do this all like weird introduction or something. Like, oh, it's my uncle's suit, whatever. Like, whatever that was. Take all that shit out. But while they're flying to check out Black Adam, instead of this prolonged find the crown thing, the dude's already got the crown. Like, he's doing this other thing. Black Adam is just blowing shit up. And then at that point, they could have explained more about how he's the champion for set hell or whatever.
Yeah.
And explain that a little bit more. I don't know. It's just everything's out of order. It's even hard to like try to fix it with everything's in there. But the JSA should have gone in. There should have been a faster team up moment. Like, oh no, dude, I'm trying to get this bro. They're like, oh shit. Yeah, we should probably help you.
It would have been cool if Amanda Waller sent those agents to get the crown. You know, she's always trying to play both sides. And then whenever Black Adam came, you know, got released, then she was like, oh, well, now I'm going to send the JSA, not tell them what's going on.
Yeah, and that's like even better.
If she just cut out the whole, and then somebody becomes, you know, Sabacc. Like, it doesn't have to be this antagonist that's going through the whole story.
Yeah, that was weird, too. It's like, oh, my family's been talking about you for generations, and you're a bitch.
Yeah, if it would just, or maybe it falls on the kid, and the kid turns into Sabacc, and he rips the kid in half.
That would have been a perfect ending. I don't know. Yeah. Mm.
That's what we thought about Black Adam. I want to know what you guys thought. So hit us up and let us know.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to try to sneak this one in there. As I mentioned before, this is a weird episode because we're putting an old trade review that we did with a new movie review that we did. And I'm sort of bridging the gap between those two. So we just reviewed Black Adam. And we are about to go into the trade review where we're talking about the Marvel book, Dark Ages, by Tom Taylor.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Initial thoughts, man. What do you think about Dark Ages? Just dropping straight in.
I mean, I was excited. It's interesting, like, coming right in. Spider-Man, of course, seems to be, like, the central character. He seems to be, in a lot of these, like, quote unquote Elseworlds stories. I know that that's a DC thing, but like the Elseworlds stories. Nice elbow.
Yeah.
It is funny coming into this, and like I wasn't quite sure. I didn't think this was main continuity, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And it's always like, if Spider-Man has children, that's usually like the give.
Yeah, but I don't even know. Yeah, they're not giving kids in the main 616. Yeah.
But it is kind of funny. Like, they always go with May.
Well, it's weird because Mayday Parker is one of my favorite characters. I love that MC2 universe. Do you remember that when they had, like, Juggernaut had a son and they had A Next? Yeah. And Mayday Parker, it was like Spider Girl, the whole era of that.
I love that character. Issue number one.
I feel like they should have continued with that. Like that's was sort of their market, was this was going to be the future of Marvel, and then they just was like, as usual,
we're not doing that. Yeah, too many bros complain.
We're not doing that. We need the same stories we've been getting for years.
Yeah, Spider-Man will be 30 years old for 100 years. So it was kind of interesting. It's so fast. Like, this story is like super fast, the way it sets up, the way they have this new world-ending threat. I mean, it's insane. And so it's kind of funny how quickly they put... I like how they involve characters that I don't see a lot, like Moon Girl and Demon something. Definitely. Is that right?
Devil Dinosaur.
Never seen a comic. I know who that is. Like, I've seen the covers, but I've never actually read anything with them in it. So I thought that was neat. And
she's actually the smartest person in the Marvel Universe.
I read that in this.
It was funny because Moon Boy and Devil Dinosaur is a comic book from like the 60s. And then they modernized it, where Devil Dinosaur came into like modern times. And then you have this Lunel, I think is her name.
Yeah.
This character who's just this genius, and then she bonds with Devil Dinosaur, and then she becomes Moon Girl, which is a cool story. They haven't used it enough. I wouldn't be surprised if it's an MCU thing. I can't see them doing like Devil Dinosaur, but whatever. She did have an animated series. I don't know if they canned it or not, but.
But it was cool to see that, to be introduced to that character that I've seen. But like, you know, there's this world-ending threat, and it's funny the team that they get together for that. It seems so ragtag. And the whole setup.
To fight.
Yeah.
Unmaker is what the big threat is.
Yeah, this is basically, I love that it's set in the center of Earth. It's essentially the Celestial from Eternals.
Yeah.
But it's funny the team that they have for it, because it's like, these aren't slouches, but there's so many people in the Marvel Universe. They sent five?
When I saw this team, I got Game of Thrones vibes. As in all these characters are going to die. These are characters that you care enough about, right?
Yeah.
You care enough about them that it'll sting if they die.
Right.
But they're also like you said, they're not slouches, but they're not main characters.
Yeah, they didn't kill off. They're not going to kill off Peter Parker within the first 5 seconds.
Exactly. Like, and to the Doctor Strange fans out there, I'm not saying Doctor Strange isn't a main character, but like,
he isn't. It's fine.
He's not. Ben Grimm, though. For me.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
Right. That was sad. I would rather see Tony Stark go.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about Vision. I don't give a shit about Scarlet Witch. I don't give a shit about Stephen Strange. But to watch, spoiler alert, to watch Ben Grimm get obliterated, I was like,
just fried.
Damn, dog.
But he's also just a, you know, guy covered in bricks. Like, that's...
Yeah, like, yeah, why would you send the Hulk's ass out there, dog?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, amongst all the people that you could send, they sent these people.
Yeah.
And no support. Like, they didn't send in, like, what's this? Like, Wong. I know that's the MCU character, but I also know that that's like a character in the comic.
Well,
they didn't send another sorcerer.
I feel like in main continuity comic books, the Avengers are like the front line.
Yeah.
Like you would think that this is the Avengers would be attacking this thing. And then like Fantastic Four, and then the all these Brainiacs are running support. You know what I mean? Like everybody else.
All these pencil pushes.
Yeah, all these pencil, all these eraser heads. They'll be doing all the support trying to figure it out. And then Steve Rogers and those guys are being the front line. But no, they put, like you said, five. Whenever I saw this roster of team, I was like, or this roster of characters, I was like, yeah, they're all going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what's funny to me is the main catalyst for the whole thing. They had one guy that could do it. Yeah. Nobody else. No. What's his name? Mr. Voodoo.
Brother Voodoo.
Brother Voodoo. Yeah, Mr. Voodoo. I was giving him more respect.
Brother Voodoo. They didn't,
you know, he was Sorcerer Supreme at one time. They didn't give him enough, like, you know, he couldn't stop this. They can't
kill a brother on the first issue, man.
Well, I'm not saying they had to kill him, but I'm just saying, like, the catalyst for the entire comic book is that something happened to Doctor Strange before he could stop this thing from happening. And there was nobody else that could, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's so what Tom is saying is that Doctor Strange essentially opens up a portal to a dimension that has a constant EMP, essentially. And the Unmaker kills Doctor Strange. Spoiler alert.
Like, yeah, after he opens it.
And then Doctor Strange can't close it because he's dead. What Simon is saying is that Doctor Strange isn't the only sorcerer. Whether he's the Sorcerer Supreme or not, there's like multiple sorcerers in this universe that are capable of closing a dimension or sending someone through a portal or doing like the basic magic stuff. Yeah, I agree.
Based on the MCU, you just do this.
Yeah, where's Wong at? He could drop him in a hole. Let's talk about the Unmaker's design. It's very Onslaught. Very 90s extreme baddie. Big fist.
Yeah.
Why give him big fist if he's not punching anything?
He's got a, I don't know. Didn't make it. Yeah, I don't know. He's punching ground.
God. Where are you at on this first issue? You're getting dropped into this universe. You see some people get murdered. The stakes are high.
I hate to say it, but I've always kind of been a fan of the like apocalyptic Marvel story where like seeing who they're going to decide is going to last. Like, oh yeah, we're just going to kill off this person. We're just going to kill off. Like,
I'm with you.
Having read through the whole thing, my favorite character survived. So I'm good.
I'm with you. It's cool because when you've been reading comic books as long as we have, I'm not saying they're not original stories. Yes, every so often and every even year we get these big events that are new and fresh. I'm not saying that they're not, but they're all kind of superhero-y, comic booky at the end of the event. It's relatively okay. Maybe our main character died, but he'll probably or she'll probably be back at the end of the next arc. Like it's we get it. But this is like end of the world. Like you said, we're killing off people. I agree. I like to see this. This freshens it up to me. And I like this because it's sort of a fresh take rather than it's not zombie apocalypse. It's not multiple, like four horsemen, anything like that. It's all of the electronics on the planet don't work. I mean, pacemakers, Spidey's web shooters.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Oh my God. Androids like Viv, which is, we know Viv from when we reviewed Vision's daughter. She became a member of the Champions. She's dead now because everything that's electronic is gone. It was weird to see Spidey mid-flight.
Yeah, high face plant.
Oh man. And high stakes. Talk about emotional, you know, gut-wrenching. He drops down. He leaves Mary Jane and his family's daughter to go try to save the day. And he comes back and they're dead. And he's like, I should have never left. The typical Peter Parker. I did the wrong thing. That's Pete. That's Spider-Man. He always does what's right, but it's wrong for his life, you know? But in this instance, it works out because of Mayday. She saves even Aunt May's old ass.
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't think that was May. I wasn't sure.
She's like 100, so I assume it's May.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a cool, it was an interesting take.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the issue ends with like sexy dad Peter Parker, which I'm like, damn, dog. Then Reed Richards, Salt and Pepper's working for you, man. I like you, yeah. Pete. They should have had this Pete in life story.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Maybe it wouldn't have sucked. But we also, last page, we get, so the world ends in a sense of like we're too reliant on technology, we're too reliant on electricity. But then it's not like Walk is dead. It's not like, well, it is, but we'll talk about that in the next issue. But they end up being okay. Pete's telling a story from a campfire. It's 7 years later or whatever. And everything seems to be relatively fine. But then we get Abansur, Apocalypse. And he's hanging out with a gang of homies, which aren't bad guys. They're actually all good guys, which is interesting. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
We got Venom, Iron Man, Steampunk Iron Man. I know that's tickling your whistle.
Yeah, that was tickling my whistle. That is the saying. Yes.
Reed Richards, ambiguous mutant that's not Lady Deathstrike. Looks like maybe She-Hulk. Beast, very feral Beast. And that's how it ends.
Yeah. It's funny to see that Beast because I think in the last issue, they show Beast and he's like a slick man.
Yeah, more humanoid.
Yeah. I kind of like the feral Beast, but that's just me.
Me too. Makes more sense for him to be Beast.
Yeah, right? Or just a hairy dude. Dark Ages, issue 2. It has been 2 years since the age of technology ended in a single moment.
I don't want you to start over, but it's just been years.
Whatever.
You said it's been 2 years.
I see that. It has been years since the age of technology ended in a single moment, like a switch has been flicked off for the entire planet. Now Earth's heroes attempt to bring humanity together in darkness. X-Men and Avengers, vigilantes and villains all work together to create something better, but something darker than the night is descending on the world. Our post-apocalyptic world is about to face apocalypse.
You know, in the last issue, issue one's review, you talked about how fast-paced and how things just happen. I wasn't there yet. In the grand scheme, yeah, I agree with you, but I wasn't there yet. The pacing from issue one to now, I'm game. I like it. I'm enjoying it. It's fresh because usually when we have these end of the world stories, it's like people are walking dead. Everybody's betraying everybody. Everybody's, you know, backstabbing everybody. This issue opens up with that happening, but this sort of collective of heroes are like, listen, we need to pull everybody together. We're struggling. We have this war between like the street level heroes against the street level villains, and they just murder each other in the streets.
Taskmaster and Hawkeye just, I was surprised to see how many people, like I said, it's interesting, like Ultimatum, you know, it's interesting this, these world ending events happen and they just kill people off.
Yeah.
But it's like,
Shang-Chi was cool. He was just like, cause he could beat the shit out of all of those dudes.
Yeah.
But he's just like, yo, let's not do this. And everybody's just sort of like, let's not do this.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny. Like, these major characters who become major characters because of the MCU. I know I'm bringing that up. I know this is a comic book, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like Hawkeye. And he's just like, he just died in the street.
He's dead.
Right next to Taskmaster.
He's specifically Hawkeye. But then you have someone like, I don't know. Well, Kamala Khan's popular. Shang-Chi's popular. I mean, these are all popular characters. Laura Kinney, Wolverine. Because we don't have, they call her Wolverine in this, which she's, I call her Wolverine too. But they don't have Logan in this until the end.
Yeah, tear.
But I like that they just, in the first two or three pages, squash it. They're like, yo, we're going down a dark path. Let's stop this. We have the powers. We don't need to be like super fascist. We don't need to rule with like a Injustice Superman Iron Fist. but we can also just work together.
Right.
You know, and I loved that because I feel like that's a fresh take on the apocalypse story.
Definitely. Yeah. We've seen the same thing a lot. So it was nice to see like, hey, you know what? We've got like the smartest people in the world here.
That are still alive. Yeah. That are still alive. And I even like that Spider-Man says like civilization fell, but it got better, honestly, without like all the pollution and everything, like the world came back to life. And we sort of like lived. We figured out how to live.
It was kind of funny the way he glosses over like how many people died, though. He's like, with less people on the planet.
After all those people killed each other, we did really.
So this one, we do see. I thought it was cool to see Tony Stark and like tinkering and stuff. He lost a leg. And I noticed that was. I don't really know when it happened. I noticed when the EMP hits and he's falling out of the sky, I noticed that his leg was like, woo, falling behind him. But I don't know what really happened to cause that. But he has like a prosthetic leg, which is cool. Yeah. And he's got all these like steam power desk looking suits. It's really dope because they're thick Iron Man. Which,
if you guys don't know Simon, Simon likes steampunky stuff. He likes groibles. Likes things like that. Is that, did I use it correctly this time?
Greebles.
Damn it.
Groibles. He likes the Groibles.
I'm Italian.
But anyway, he likes the Greebles. Yeah, it was cool. But yeah, it's interesting. This is where it becomes very fast paced. And it's that juncture where we get like hot bearded ass cat coming out of the.
Oh my God. Thank you for saying that. I'm glad it wasn't just me.
I was like, dang, it's good looking.
Before that, we got a great looking Daredevil and there was like a basic white guy, right? It could have easily been basic white guy, but chef's kiss, it was Foggy. I mean, that was like.
Yeah. Hey, we're hanging out.
Yeah. That's a great thing. Like, oh, Foggy's still alive. He's my friend. Yeah. We're on watch together. And then they have this like hunter team. Which is, you know, Gabby, Wolverine.
I don't know who is Gabby. Who is
she's that? A clone of Laura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her. I can't remember her nickname. It was she was great, but she didn't last long at comics. I appreciate that they added in here. Tom Taylor actually created Gabby, so it was cool that he put her in that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny that they just happened to have liquid silver right there. And she was like, coating up.
Dipping in silver. Well, I mean, if you live in a world where vampires and like dark creatures rule in the night, then that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So just talking about things that we like, because I know we can often get sucked in the discussion. Like it was neat that there's all this extraneous stuff that they have to worry about. Like Spider-Man basically created spider webs. As a security system, just like a spider would, which is kind of interesting, but kind of like stupid and also like super ridiculous, but kind of cool. And then, but yeah, like you said, like Blade, Wolverine, Gabby, they're this team that goes out and basically murders vampires and shit, which is cool because it's not zombies. So that's fresh. I can't hear you.
Sorry, I was muted. My bad.
Anyway, but that was fresh.
I agree. And there is like some corny moments, like she has steak fist.
Yeah, steak fist.
I was like, that's lame.
I like steak.
Yeah, it's not like
she just has meat stuck to her hand.
She's like, you dip it in the silver, I got the steak. So she like wraps her.
So yeah, that was interesting. And it's but, you know, like we get this cat moment, which was it was funny. I would have rather if it just been him. But the fact that it wasn't him, it was like somebody in disguise. Like, oh, well,
it's kind of like. Why, though?
Yeah,
exactly. Like if Cat was spoiler alert for future reviews, if Cat was already under control from the Purple Man. Why not just use Cap?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it,
Mystique never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she was a major player. This,
I think they own. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think they only use her because later it's like, oh, it wasn't Cap.
Yeah,
I can smell that it wasn't Cap.
Yeah, true. We don't talk about it a lot. Sometimes we say books need less issues. I think this one needed more. I think this could have been a 12-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
It could have.
Yeah, I agree, because there's a lot of stuff that's kind of...
I mean, they fast-forward through a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk about the costuming. So, Spider-Man looks great.
Sexy Cap looks great. Put that. Damn, man.
Yeah, sexy
that's
Cap.
That's a good-looking Cap, dude. That's probably the best-looking Cap I've ever seen.
Yeah, Iron Man looks great. But Spider-Man, I particularly like his mechanism. It reminds me a lot of Attack on Titan, like how he swings around, like
his
web shooters and stuff. Because they're like big and bulky, you know?
Yeah. I like that a lot. You know, a lot of people still look the same. Black Panther, not much you can change with him.
Well, Wakanda forever.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we go through this a little bit, and Apocalypse wants Iron Man because he's gathering all the smart minds, right? He's trying to figure out how to bring electricity back to the world. Essentially, that's what his pitch is.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't need Purple Man to control these fools if that was his pitch.
Right. You know,
he brings Iron Man to his facility, and he's like, wait, I tried this. It didn't work. What are you doing differently? And he's using Magneto as the electric ball that makes your hair stand up that you can get at the mall.
Kind of Tesla coil?
Yeah, so that's creepy. That sucks, man. I love Magneto, so it sucks to see him like this.
Yeah. He's just wearing an oxygen mask, but like looks old and young at the same time.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, typical Magneto fashion. And as I mentioned before, Purple Man is basically controlling all of these hyper-intelligent people to do whatever it is Apocalypse's creepy old ass is trying to do.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing, too, to bring in other obscure characters. So Purple Man was, you know, maybe if you read comic books, he was known.
Yeah.
But relatively unknown for everybody that wasn't. And you know, only knows him from Jessica Jones or whatever. So it was cool to bring him
Jessica
in.
Jones was good.
Yeah, it was cool to see him. The show.
One thing that I will note, after each one of these issues, they have a character sheet, which I love character sheets.
Uh-huh.
Like, I could do a whole series of character sheets of, like, bullshit characters that I made up in my head. And then this one is about Cap, and 100%, a little bit of Cap mixed with Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. I was just thinking that. He definitely looks exactly like Snake. Yeah, for sure.
Best Cap I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hands down. Let's talk about issue number 3. The Earth has been plunged into darkness, and the Avengers and X-Men have begun vanishing in the night. They have been taken and twisted by Apocalypse to serve in an evil older than the world. A group of heroes will assemble to travel across the dark planet in a desperate attempt to rescue their friends and save civilization already. Okay. A group of heroes will assemble to travel across the dark planet in a desperate attempt to rescue their friends and save a civilization already on its knees.
Mm.
This cover looks great, though, man. The cover. Ebon,
really good.
Ebon Coelho. We haven't talked about the art, and I know we do at the end, but golly.
Yeah. Yeah, the covers are really awesome.
His ass off.
Huh? Yeah. What is this cover again?
It's Apocalypse ripping.
Oh, ripping.
Ripping the Iron Man armor off, but then Reed, old man Reed, pulling Tony out of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's great.
Definitely. And
the issue starts with flame on. So it gets a dramatic intro, but then it ends up being like more of that tranquil life. Like, oh, we're actually happy living in this suburban life.
Yeah. So, speaking on that, it was, you can see Johnny Storm in this like kind of like elemental can't control himself vibe.
Yeah.
I know it's later, but I was surprised.
Yeah, that was like, oh, you're talking about the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was sad. And I think that was more of like for the story too, but also sad. Dr. Doom is here. I love Dr. Doom. He's one of my favorite. I don't even know if you can call him like a textbook straight up villain, because I don't think he is. He's like a complicated character.
You're right. Yeah, you're never quite sure what his motivations are.
Because every time, like every page that he's in this issue, I'm like, he's going to betray him. He's going to betray him. But then he never does. He legitimately even tells him like, hey, just trust me, man. If I wanted Wakanda, I'd take Wakanda.
Yeah, I'd already taken it.
Like, I'm good. Like, I just want to be alive. Everyone's dying every day. Like, I just want to live, man.
Well, yeah, and I think it's kind of funny. It's like, listen, I'm not going to take over, like, this shitty European nation.
Oh, it's over Europe. Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool.
Let's talk about this. We don't go panel by panel, but let's talk about the sad shit, man. That shit was sad. The Quicksilver stuff, dude, that was sad, man. That was like and I hate to keep saying Game of Thrones, but that's for me, Game of Thrones was a huge part of my life throughout the years, and it was gut-wrenching every time you fall in love with a character and they murder them. Not saying I love Quicksilver, but I have an affinity for like characters that I know.
Yeah, and it's even crazier because, you know, especially with Johnny Storm, they set up at the beginning, he's part of the family's Uncle Johnny, whatever. So,
and we know that Sue's by herself. We know that the thing gets obliterated in the first issue. We don't know where Reed is. But essentially, T'Challa, they're trying to figure out what's going on in Europe. T'Challa's like, oh, we got the fastest man alive, Barry Allen, Quicksilver. We can send him over to Europe to see what's going on. Quicksilver runs over there, and his first sight is his dad being tortured, essentially. So he's like aloof for enough time that they capture him, essentially. He tries to free his dad, and then he gets captured. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, just kill him. And Apocalypse's punk ass is like, nah, just send him back.
Yeah.
Sad,
man. And I knew something was going to happen because that's what's crazy so fast. So,
yeah. Okoye, RIP.
Yeah. Forever until today.
For the homie.
It was crazy to see what he could do. And that's scary, man. That's like the thought terrifying. Of like somebody can move so fast that you can't see him.
And I like that.
But
I like that. I've always liked that about Spider-Man. Spider-Man has the spider sense and he has like fast reactions. And so he can react to Pietro moving, but he's not nearly as fast as him.
Yeah.
Like, and another thing that I like about the story is that these people all still have their powers, but like the world still sucks. And so Pete is trying to like web them up, but Quicksilver is just like dancing around that shit. So I like that Pete can acknowledge it, but he also can't really do anything to stop it.
Yeah. What I find crazy is like, so we get this eruption from Johnny Storm and Sue Storm protects everything, but you notice she doesn't protect the bottom half of Pietro's legs.
Yeah. Or Pietro. Oh, damn. I did notice that.
And so like whatever he has later must be fake. Cause like they're gone.
Wow. His legs are gone. I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that. Wow, that's great. It's kind of like a fuck you, man.
Yeah.
People don't realize how strong Sue Storm is, dude. In the first issue, they're like, she's the only thing tethering us to this reality. Like, through her bubble. It's like, Doctor Strange. Yeah, Doctor Strange was using Sue Storm to tether them to the reality because the Unmaker was unmaking the ground below them.
Yeah.
And people don't realize how strong she is. It's wild. They think she's just an invisible girl.
Well, invisible woman.
I mean, she's a lady.
Yeah. So.
And I also thought it was crazy that they killed off, like, the court, like, any, like, bystanders, because it was like, Sue saved us. save everybody. And then it's just like, duh, dust.
Yeah. Well, so I thought about that because I saw that scene. I was like, oh, geez. But I think those dark spots are just silhouettes of the other heroes. So
yes, I looked at it too. But like you scroll up and you see like Dora Milaje in the background and other characters.
So yeah, like, man, Dora Milaje, they get the worst of it.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah. But it was cool to see Quicksilver. It reminds me of, I think, Ultimates 2 when Quicksilver is like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Or no, a good guy. Ultimates 3 is a bad guy, but seeing him like run so fast, that girl, he like obliterates that girl.
Yeah. And then he makes
it's cool to see him use his yeah, it's cool to see him use his powers like that.
Yeah, I agree. It was sad, man. And what I don't know what Johnny was thinking. He was like, flame on. What are you gonna do? You can barely see the guy. What do you think you're gonna do?
Boil him. But that's what I was talking about. It looked like he was wearing almost like a containment suit. So it was kind of.
And then I can't wait to talk about this next issue with you. Alvin Sorv. I like you calling him Alvin Sorv instead of Apocalypse because I think Apocalypse is a corny name.
Isn't Alvin Sorv the guy from Green Lantern?
Maybe.
Yeah, I looked it up earlier when you said it.
Yes. Damn.
Losing all kinds of nerd cred today.
Where isn't it at all, man? Ansabanur. That's what it is.
First one can be a mistake, so you can go ahead and start over with your statement with Ansabanur.
I've been waiting to talk. I can't wait to talk to you about the next issue with Ansabanur, which, as Simon let me know, I was calling him Abensor earlier, which is the pink guy that gave Hal Jordan his ring. Different characters.
Pepto-Bismol mascot.
Yeah, that guy. But Apocalypse essentially knows what's going on. He knew that he sent Pietro over there, and he knows that the heroes are going to come, and he has Venom on his side. Essentially, we don't know.
Venom. Yeah.
It's Venom. What leads to be
it's toxin.
Leads to be one of my favorite characters. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah. So Dark Ages issue 4, a group of heroes have crossed dark seas in a desperate and dangerous attempt to save their friends. But before the heroes can save the world, they must first survive the most treacherous place on Earth. Europe.
You know, we talked about this issue. We talked about how this book is fast forwarding. You said it happened in last issue. This issue deserved two. It should be split. So much happens in this one. It didn't do it justice. We get introduced to X-Men that we haven't seen yet. Swashbuckling Nightcrawler is my favorite Nightcrawler.
Aces, buddy.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like a freaking chef's kiss. We didn't get enough of them. We talked in the last episode. I went on I don't even know if I edited it out, but I went on a multiple man tirade in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
And
And
he's like a integral part of this team, which if you had a seafaring team, hell yeah, that's the perfect. Because even later on, they're like, oh, Jamie Madders, he can pilot a ship by himself. Like he obviously. He can just create more of himself. And we get Colossus, which I don't even know if he ever changes. And yeah, he does. We get Colossus in here. I think it's very cool. The ship that they're using to find refugees is the fallen shield hell carrier.
Yeah.
Essentially propelled by Storm, which Storm is arguably the greatest X-Men of all time.
She falls out of the sky.
Not the animated series Storm, and not the Halle Berry shocking the Toad Storm.
What happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
Neither one of those. So, comic book Storm is one of the best X-Men ever.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, swashbuckling Nightcrawler is so good. And the multiple man thing, I think it's like so clever. Of course. Why not?
Genius.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm surprised they don't use him more in like X-Men yeah. comic books. You have a dude that could, you have an army.
Yeah. We need him to move things. Well, I'll make 40 mil.
We're talking about like frontline cannon fodder. You can have that guy at home create a million copies of himself.
Yeah.
I don't know the full extent of his powers, but.
He can make 43 and he feels every death.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
Yeah, so that was really cool. This is the issue with like the pirates, right?
Yeah, eventually. You know, we get some cool moments before then. Storm and Black Panther meet, they have a daughter together. Pepper,
they have a quick bone.
Pepper in the steampunk Iron Man armor. Oof. How you feel about that Iron Man armor?
I look cool, man.
That's just tight. Look
really good.
That's just tight. Nick Fury, Black Nick Fury. That's mm-hmm. cool.
Wakanda forever.
Always cool to see that one. Yeah, and then essentially we get the Ghost Rider pirate army, which is kind of cool, man.
It was a cool concept. It's like I just love the idea. It's like, well, shit, we're not doing anything else. Might as well sell our souls to the devil. It was that, like, I think it was an Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Why'd you sell your soul? Well, I wasn't doing anything with it. But it's cool. I like that idea. But yeah, it's why not? Crazy.
And they drag souls down. It wasn't just like, they explained it more than that. It wasn't just like, oh, these guys are daredevils now. It was like they sold their souls, and then they bring souls down to Mephisto or whatever. So I thought it was cool, but I also would like be what happened to Johnny Blaze? What happened to Danny Ketch? Where are those guys at? They just died?
They're dead, man. They boiled over. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I like that sequence.
Yeah, except they killed Nick Fury, man. RIP, black actors.
Black actors, right. And I'll get to something I was thinking on the next issue, but I was like, what the fuck? Somebody didn't think about that when they were writing it.
We get the first double fastball special I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was cool. Hey, Gabby's an interesting character because she is, I can't remember her like code name. She's like the Badger or something like that.
Stabby.
But it's still, that's actually a better name. Wolverine has three claws. Laura has two. Gabby has one. It's just like, yeah. Come on, man.
It's cool.
It's only generational because Dakin, which he's not Dakin anymore, but Dakin has two claws.
I thought he had three.
He has two from the top and then one from the bottom, which is like poisonous.
Yeah, so he's like two top, two bottom. It's like
he's bi.
There's a video there.
The Ghost Rider. I like Ghost Rider. So anytime I see Ghost Riders, I think it's great. We get cool. Nightcrawler is the coolest part of this issue.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. He's so cool.
Yeah. Fing Fang Foom shows up. So a thing is like, and I think it's Luke Cage's daughter, Danny.
I guess so.
They're supposed to be back on the island, but they stay on the ship, and they're who alert everyone about the Ghost Riders. Nick Fury gets killed. RIP, black actors. And then we see Fing Fang Foom show up. I love when Fing Fang Foom shows up because he's just like the most ridiculous kaiju. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
He's a kaiju. And at first I'm like, damn, this sucks. They're just adding another element into like danger. But then Pete's smiling. So if Pete's smiling, I know we're all right.
Yeah, it was. Well, and so they talk about it at the beginning when they're talking about shit that quits working.
Yeah.
And it's like Giant Man can't use his trigger anymore.
Yeah.
So he's just big all the time.
Giant all the time. Yeah. And so now he rides Fing Fang Foom as like his, I don't know,
his noble steed.
And they just obliterate the freaking Ghost Riders.
Yeah, it was funny that it was like a big deal and then it wasn't immediately.
Yeah, at all. Yeah, they crushed them. And I was like, that's cool. But then I'm with you. I'm like, this is now it's going way too fast for me.
Right. And yeah, that fact, that part especially. Yeah.
And I will talk about it more in issue 6 about how fast it's going. Well, let's talk about issue 5 first.
Yeah.
Dark Ages, issue number 5. Spider-Man joins Doctor Doom, the X-Men, the Inhumans, the Avengers, and what's left of the Fantastic Four on a rescue mission across the continent ruled by a madman. But they could be too late. The dictator of Europe has heroes and villains by his side, and the unthinkable is now in motion. Apocalypse could tear the world apart. Was that a... Did you turn it off, or was it...
I turned it on.
Oh, it's like, I'm just going to keep talking.
Yeah, I was blinking.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so in this issue, the reason what I wanted to talk to before I forget is so we're introduced to Deadpool in this issue.
Yeah, I'm not a Deadpool fan.
Yeah, he was fine. He didn't have, like, I wish he didn't have his gross face hanging out like an executioner hood, but it's fine. Yeah. But he says, so Nick Fury dies. They bury him. Spoiler alert.
Oh. But
he says, Nick Fury was one of the good ones. And all I can think is like,
yeah,
that's Black Nick Fury. You're saying Black Nick Fury is one of the good ones?
I didn't even think about it. But then when I just pulled up and when I saw it, yeah.
That is problematic, homie.
Deadpool sucks.
I'm sure that's not what anybody meant, but I'm like, you gotta be careful what you say, man, because that's the way I read it.
Yeah, if you wrote that and then it was like, hey man, what do you think about this? Like, you know, if we're going page by page or whatever, writing a book together, and you're like, hey man, what do you think about this? It'd be like, damn, Simon.
Is that what you think?
Who wrote that, man? The man in the yellow hat? One thing I could say about that I like about the Purple Man growing on, continue to be themselves.
Yeah.
Like Tony Stark, he's, you know, yes, Purple Man's controlling all of them to do what Apocalypse wants, but they're also piquing the interest of like, oh, I can problem solve this.
Right.
Like Tony Stark at the beginning is depressed because he's like, yeah, I've grown accustomed to this life. I'm happy. I'm with Pepper. But I also lay awake at night dreaming up all of these inventions to save the world, and I can't do it. And so now he's like, oh, hell yeah. It's like almost an inhibitor is released, and he's like, well, I can do it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that about that. I like that they're just not like mindless zombies doing whatever he wants, because Reed Richards is the same way. He kind of sucks as a family man because he's so addicted to like creating things.
Right.
And so I like that. I also like that when they walk across Doctor Strange's body, he's like, hey, don't touch that. Don't touch him. Because he's dead, but like he's so mystical that you'll get murdered or something if you touch.
He's still got his traps.
Yeah.
He's still got all his traps.
What do you think about issue number 5, man?
Well, oh yeah. So we're skipping over a big part.
Talk to me.
The Miles Morales.
That's not yet.
Yeah, it's an issue 5.
I mean, it's like towards the end, though. We got the double-decker bus before.
What I feel about the whole comic. Oh, you mad at me about talking about that
part? You said we're skipping over. We haven't got there yet. We haven't skipped over it. I'm sorry, man.
Semantics.
Let me know. Semantics. Speak. You tell me about it.
No, I think it's... I love the design at the beginning, but then there's another part where he's got like two different eyes things. I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought that was kind of silly, but it's kind of cool to see them mixed up, especially for his suit. But yeah, they make a big deal out of Miles Morales, which is funny because he's just a symbiote, and symbiotes are kind of defeated easily. It's like fire and sound waves, and they figure it out like fast. So
yeah, I didn't like the he has a design at first where it's like Venom and then like a hand around his head. I didn't really like that.
No, it when they show in the character sheet, though, that's the version I'm like, oh, that's pretty slick.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, they make him, he's got like a hood or something.
Yeah. I like the concept of it. And we'll talk about it more in the next issue, because that's when they dive into like the backstory of it. But I like that he's the sort of the assassin at the end of this, because Spider-Man, his spider sense doesn't work on Venom. Right. And I like that Gabby has this, these neuro things that are these nanites that can't make her feel pain, but no electricity or no, you know, power. So she feels everything. They're getting messed up by this Venom creature. But like you said, Venom is cool in like theory.
Yeah.
As soon as you, it was like Pepper Potts defeated this Venom. And then Sue Storm bubbled it, and then Storm killed it.
Yeah, super dead.
It was extremely anticlimactic. You didn't like the double face? You didn't like the eyes on top of the eyes?
No, I didn't like that one. I didn't mind it when he was just had like a Venom head and like a hood. But there was one picture where he looked odd.
I like the Venom when he has, or Miles when he has Gabby and the double eyes. I didn't like it when it was just Venom and then like spider hands behind it. I thought that looked dumb.
Yeah, that one looked silly. But I like it mostly because of the like the pattern on his suit.
Yeah.
But the head part, yeah, looks stupid.
One interjection that I don't like. I'm not a huge Deadpool fan. Like, if you like Deadpool movies, that's cool. There's nothing against it. I love those movies.
Right, but Deadpool. Deadpool is
not my favorite. Never have liked him. But I did like this interaction between him and Pete, where it's like a super serious situation, and I didn't even notice it. Like, Peter just uses web slingers throughout this book. Never noticed it. But he's trying to capture or help fight against Venom, and his web shooters make a thwap instead of a thwip sound. And Daredevil's just standing behind him, and he's like, what was that? And he's like, hey, could you not be you right now? And he's like, listen, your new web shooters go thwap. And it's just like, it's so stupid. But it's because I didn't notice that it was thwap instead of thwip that I thought was
funny. Yeah, I didn't notice. I didn't notice it until he said it either. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so funny. And then he uses his gun to handle business. And they fucked this Venom up for him to be such a badass.
Yeah. But fairly quickly, which a little bit too quick, honestly. There should have been a story where he freaking steals Mayday or something. Like,
Yeah. I liked him. So we're talking about the character design sheet. I like him as Miles with the suit. I don't like it venomized
with the suit. Right.
I think it's my thing.
I agree.
And that leads into the next issue.
Is this me?
Yeah.
Dark Ages, issue 6. All the sacrifices made on the day the world went dark could be for nothing if Apocalypse has his way. Some of the greatest minds on the planet have been, I just like felt like I started sounding like Jeff Goldblum, and so I tried to embrace it, but it was bad. Some of the greatest minds on the planet have been enslaved by the tyrant and are working on a plan that could end in annihilation. Will our heroes fighting for their loved ones and lost ones be able to stop Apocalypse and his forces, or could the world end again?
This Miles at the beginning, it's a flashback, looks so good.
Yeah, the Venom version? Yeah, dude, looks really good.
In the main continuity, main 616, they had the big event where Null came down and he was fighting everybody, right? Eddie Brock was fighting against him. Eddie Brock was supposed to die, and Miles was supposed to take Donny Cates from Texas, our boy.
Yeah.
He wanted to make Miles the next Venom, which solved a lot of problems. You know, a lot of people that read comic books are like, he ain't my Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, but it solves a lot of problems. Eddie Brock dies valiantly. We need a new Venom. This guy has spider powers. He becomes a new Venom. It's brilliant. But there was so much pushback that he didn't do it. Eddie Brock becomes this cosmic being fuses with Captain Universe and saves the day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. It's like so ridiculous that he takes Silver Surfer's board, makes it a sword, fuses it with Mjolnir, combines with Captain Universe, and it's like a little kid wrote it. It's like you and I on the playground, like, well, I'm Venom plus Captain Universe plus Thor's hammer plus Silver Surfer. It's exactly what happens. And then he beats instead of this.
Yeah.
Adding Carnage to it makes it interesting, but also like I could do without Carnage.
Yeah, the regular base Venom suit that he's wearing looks clean as fuck.
It looks so cool. And we talked about it numerous times, how speeding, it just speeds up. And this issue is so fast and so ridiculous, it's really hard to keep track of like what is even happening.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, we're here, okay. Like, I know when the world's gonna end. Okay. And then we're like, and now the world is ending. It's like,
I'm gonna just be frank with you, man. This was anticlimactic, this issue was.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know what I expected though, because I don't want to see a sad ending.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they didn't really know where to go.
It was just anticlimactic because they've had Cap's shield the whole time, but now Cap's shield's a part of it. Otto Octavius has figured out what Apocalypse is doing, so Apocalypse just kills Otto Octavius. But where the fuck has Otto been the whole time?
That was brutal.
It was tight though.
Well, and it's not even, I don't even know why they're talking about vibranium, because they need the adamantium.
Uh-huh. Which Cap Shield is half vibranium, half adamantium.
Oh, I see.
That's what makes his shield so special.
I see. Well, that, you know, one of the weird things in this issue is like, oh, I need adamantium. Oh, I happen to have adamantium in a basement cellar or something. Like, I didn't understand what the hell was happening with that.
Well, because Wolverine tries to infiltrate that Europe and Apocalypse.
But he's not in any other part of the book. So it's like, is it clear? I thought he was imprisoned. And he just happens to know where he is.
This is the coolest looking Wolverine I've ever seen. I like long haired beard Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are too obsessed with the stupid hair, slicked up Wolverine. Yeah. I think he looks way cooler like this.
No, man, he's gonna have the weird chops like the mutton.
I think it's so stupid. Having Cyclops obliterate him is kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, it was weird. Because you'd think he would like try to dodge or something, but he just runs right into it.
Everybody looks cool with the beard. That's what I've learned in this story. Cyclops looks cooler. Wolverine looks cooler. Cap looks cooler. I also thought go ahead.
I was going to say a well-sculpted beard anyway, not a beard like mine.
Yeah, or mine. Not the patches, though.
Have you seen my face? Anyway.
The only reason mine looks different than yours is because I have dark hair. That's the only reason.
That's true. My face just looks like dirty.
Because if you look at this side, it's patchy. I just have dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Wolverine could reform his entire body from a molecule, though.
I thought that too, but I'm like, well, if they separated a skeleton, like, how does that work?
Yeah. I guess it's just different for whatever story.
Well, and I've also always wondered about that. You know, they talk about he could come back from one cell, but it's like, what if he had a couple of cells left? Like, his arm is over here. It's like, could there be clones of Wolverine that come back?
It's interesting that you say that. Today, while I was on the road, I was listening to an iFanboy episode, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and they take questions from their audience, and someone asked a question that if Wolverine was ripped in half, as Hulk has ripped him in half before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone takes the top half of Wolverine and takes it to the North Pole, and then takes the bottom half to the South Pole. Would you then eventually have two Wolverines?
Yeah.
Or would you have just a pair of legs and then one full Wolverine, like the one that's connected to his brain?
Yeah. or one that tries to form through the earth.
Yeah, I listened to this crazy, it was like a 45 minute conversation about this, and then they got like really nerdy, how like dumb nerdy how we would, and it was like, what if that Wolverine healed the top half and then you connected the legs to that top half, would you have a four-legged Wolverine? Yeah, technically, man.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of fast forward, it just happens super fast. Our heroes, the survivors, get to the pyramid. It's got to be a pyramid because it's Apocalypse. Get to the pyramid.
Yeah.
And then we have the Purple Man Avengers pop up with Captain Marvel. Where the fuck has she been the entire time?
Yeah, you would think she would just obliterate the fuck out of everyone.
She-Hulk's there. These are stacked. They have fucking Dracula on their team. They have a stacked team.
Yeah.
They get into a Civil War-style battle, and then Wade just shoots Purple Man in the head. Which,
that was so good,
dude. Oh, my God. It's like, you don't think about it, but that's perfect. And his explanation is like, oh, well, I wasn't with you guys this whole time. I don't know. The Purple Man was controlling the Avengers. I killed him. Everybody's free.
Yeah, it was funny how that just solved that problem.
Yeah. And everyone was like, hey, man, we were just going to knock him out. And he's like, why? For what? For what? So that was great. Simple, but I mean, that great. That was great. And then it just happened. It just ends.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's like kind of some clever stuff with Sue Storm, how she stops Apocalypse. She like basically puts a force field around a part of his brain and keeps him from using his powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dracula turns Apocalypse into a vampire to control him.
Yeah.
Because Dracula and Doom work out a side deal. But then Dracula also Blade worked out a deal with Dr. Doom to just be like, oh, well, now it's easier to kill you. And then he kills Dracula and Apocalypse and cuts their heads off. And then everyone rides off into a sunset.
Yeah, essentially. I do think it's interesting when they treat Dracula like that, like he's a zombie, you know?
Yeah.
Like the real story is like he drains your blood and then he makes you drink some of his blood. But it's just like, I bet you a vampire now.
Yeah. And that's how it ends.
The sunset thing, I was like, man, you know, I don't know.
Anticlimactic, man. No cliffhanger at all.
Which, I don't know if I need a cliffhanger, but...
I don't either. Because they established the world as essentially a utopia. Now that half the population is gone and... electricity bad.
Right. Yeah, there was something that I wasn't a huge fan of, but I can't remember what it was. There was something that just didn't work for me.
So there's just going to always leave that portal open and Dr. Strange's dead body in that cavern?
Yeah.
That's his life now.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, you know. I don't know. That's just it.
That's their solution to the Unmakers. Just like, leave them comatose and survive.
No one else is studying to be a sorcerer to like stop it or anything. It's just going forever.
Yeah, no one's trying to get in touch with the living tribunal, the guy that put him there or the person that put him there essentially, be like, hey, can you put him somewhere else? They're just like, fuck it, we'll live here now. This is life.
They're all Stockholm syndrome, like, oh, it's way better.
Life is better with less people. No social media.
Well. That's true. I mean, it's not wrong.
That's true. That's it, man. That's Dark Ages.
Yeah.
What'd you think overall, Sam?
Honestly, you know how I feel about just being dropped in and stuff. So I like that it was like an Elseworlds story and, you know, it was just fun. It was fun to... It's good.
It was. I'm a Spidey fan. I know you're a Spidey fan. Our boy makes it to the end. Is that who you were talking about?
No, I was actually talking about Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler makes it. Our boy makes it. Then Pete makes it to the end, too. His family's intact, which is rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was fun. Yvonne Coelho. Jesus, man. Let's talk about the art. That dude can draw, man.
Yeah, it almost has like a... It reminds me of a more sketchy Chamba, like...
Yeah.
Just reminds me of like Street Fighter versus... Or Capcom versus Marvel, like that whole vibe as far as the illustrations.
That dude could draw.
It's good. It's really good.
Jesus, making me feel like an idiot.
Wow.
Well, you are. Let's see. Pacing was rough. That was probably one of my bad remarks. Definitely. One of my negative remarks. It starts out strong. I like it. And then about halfway through, they're like, maybe it was, it feels like they told Tom Taylor, yo, you're about to get 12 issues.
Yeah. And they're like, cut that shit in half.
Well, Tom Taylor signed an exclusive deal with DC.
Mm.
And so maybe that was happening. And they were like, well, you got to finish this story.
Yeah.
And so they just capped it off real fast.
He was getting his tool show.
Pacing was good. Dialogue, I think, was really good. Interesting moments between a lot of characters. Dr. Doom, Pete. I mean, there was...
They use Pete as, like, the moral center. You know, he is, like, the good guy.
Yeah, he's the narrator.
Yep.
He's the everyman. We're watching it through his eyes, essentially.
Right. Yeah, and I do, you know, in our first issue, it's like the spiders felt it the worst at the beginning because of our spider sense. Like, that was kind of neat.
That was cool. We never saw Gwen again.
Yeah.
Spider Gwen. They showed her at the beginning of that. I think they showed her a face a few times, but they never really. Yeah, that makes sense. Gwen, Spider Gwen is a weird, or Ghost Spider is a weird character because she's like sometimes in the 616, sometimes she's in like her own universe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy the read though?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. Now really we have fast. Like a rating system.
It was really fast, man.
Really fat.
It was a fast read. And I don't know if it's because I read it before and I could like skim through it, but I thought it was a relatively fast read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got through it really, really quickly.
The main antagonist, the Unmaker, it's pretty much nothing.
It wasn't really the main antagonist, though. Like, right. Apocalypse is the main antagonist.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. I enjoyed it. I like the Elseworlds, like, we're going to kill off superhero stories. I don't know why.
I'm with you, too. Especially this is, like, a relatively fresh take on apocalyptic stories.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I like more than anything, because there's, like, yeah, they have some vampires, but it's not, doesn't seem that big, you know, because he just, like, kills them real quick. Like, that team just kills them real quick, and that's pretty much it.
And then without Apocalypse, they're all kind of like, man, life is good.
Like, yeah.
Less TV is actually beneficial for us.
Right. He's mad because technology is dead. So what powers does he have?
Yeah. Let's grade this thing, man.
Grade it.
I got it pulled up, but I don't know. The pacing was so fast in the last three issues. I mean, it really ramps up.
Yeah.
So that's one of my only complaints. Because I love the concept. I love all the characters. I love the different takes on the characters, like the Miles, Venom, Carnage hybrid.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I've never seen anything like that before.
I love a lot of these characterizations. I love Mayday Parker being in a book. Because a lot of times they'll have Pete have kids, but they'll just be like random kids. I like that they made it May. Because, yeah, you know, we read
random ass kids.
Well, we read the J.J. Abrams Spider-Man book, and it was like random redhead Benji. You remember he had a son named Benji?
Well, I'm blanking on that book.
Yeah, so it was Spider-Man. He lost his arm trying to save MJ on the bridge. Mm-hmm. And then
yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And then he had a son named Benji that ended up having spider powers. And then his mom ended up being alive, being one of the robots or whatever. Yeah, it sucked.
J.J. Abrams.
Exactly. And so I like when they just use Mayday. Mayday is such an important character, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, we were around when she was introduced, so.
Yeah.
I still have a special place in my heart.
Same. It's just like the Peter Parker I could have sex with, essentially. It's like Lady Peter Parker.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody that just feels guilty all the time. Basically Catholic.
Exactly. But so, it's essentially my wife.
I'm going to go first.
Lay it on me, man. I think I got mine, if you don't know yet.
I think I'm going to go D3. Like, it was very close to being perfect.
Close. You're close to me.
But... it, like you said, like we were talking about, like it moves way too fast.
Yeah.
But they probably were like, hey, you've only got enough time for this, so get it done.
You went D, what'd you go?
I don't remember now. Don't ask me again.
I think you went D3, I think. I'm going E2. Exact same reason.
E2?
Exact same reason. The pacing on the first three issues pulled me in. Like, it was good. Mm-hmm. I love the story. I love the universe. And then it just, like, it was it. It ended.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's like, I love the stories and I love the universe. Whoa, that's a lot all at once.
Yeah. And then it ended. Happy ending. Everybody. It's not that it's exactly what you said. It's not that I wanted it to be a sad ending. It was just anticlimactic.
Right.
It was just like, Apocalypse is a bad guy. Stop Apocalypse. He's dead. We're good.
Well, they're even like, even when they were killed to Kilgrave, they're like, oh, no, that's pretty good.
Like, I don't need a cliffhanger, but I need like a, not nefarious Dr. Doom, but I need like a Dr. Doom being like, oh, this was all my plan.
Yeah.
I just needed a something.
A something.
That's what I got. I liked it though.
Yeah, I think it's a good enough read.
I liked it.
I do think that y'all should go and read it and tell us what you think.
For six issues and being done, which is a rare thing, that they just completely just like, this story is done.
Yeah.
We're not doing a teaser to something else where you capped it off, which I appreciate that. So definitely check out Dark Ages. Again, if you're listening to this the day the episode releases, go to your comic book shop. This is the day that the trade releases. And if not, just go and pick it up.
Go get it now.
Simon, where can people find you on the internets?
Just follow me around. Just follow me wherever you want to go. So, Simon_on_toast on Instagram, SimonToyPortraits.com. That's about it.
Also, you can see Simon on our website, WednesdayPull.com. Mm-hmm. You can find articles and things that we're posting. I have a lot queued up for the next couple of months. January, I got a lot of things planned for 2023. Wednesday Pull everywhere else. Find us.
Come pull us.
Join us. And we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Bye.